Let's do this, the Cult of Hockey podcast by the faithful and for the faithful. I'm David Staples of the Edmonton Journal, and I'm here today with my friend Bruce McCurdy. Welcome, Bruce.
Hey, David, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. That was a thrilling game in Winnipeg, Bruce. That was just back and forth, strong hockey, and the Oilers, I thought they were going to get caved tonight, and aside from the third period where they were hanging on, they played a really strong game, and we're unlucky not to get 2 points. They did get the loser point, so that's really good news. And, it was almost like I think that's a guaranteed lose night, but you lose two of your top four defensemen in Russell and Klefbom all in one swoop and suddenly promote Kevin Gravel and Matt Benning. And I'm not expecting good things. Cam Talbot, the backup goalie's in net. So they nonetheless, Bruce, they got that loser point in a, what was it, 5-4 loss?
5-4. Yeah, they had, three of their $4 million plus defensemen sat this one out, eh? I mean, you talk about two of their top four, and that's, we've almost forgotten about Andrei Sekera, who would, in a normal world, be a top four defenseman. We haven't seen him all year, and we haven't seen him as a top four since 2 years ago. So
let's do our two good things, two bad things, two numbers podcast, Bruce, because we'll try to speed along here because you got a date with the Stars tonight, don't you?
I do. I'm going out to see the Geminid meteor shower here in a few minutes, and it'll be going on for most of the night. So it's not a race against the clock, but I do need to move on. And we did kind of ramble on a little bit the other night. Let's tighten it up a bit, I think, as a favor to our viewers and keep on the point. I'll start with a good thing. And my good thing's Leon Draisaitl. And Leon Draisaitl's passing. It's too bad he couldn't beat Connor Hellebuyck with his best chance tonight, which was about 10 or 15 seconds after Winnipeg tied it in the third period. But boy, did he make nice passes on three different goals. He had a primary assist on the first goal. He jumped on a loose puck on his forehand side. He found the guy open, Spooner, and he was able to fish the puck back almost through his body at a difficult angle. Set up Spooner for the one-timer from the slot. On the second goal, the Nurse goal, it was he didn't get a point on it, but it was Draisaitl with the perfect breakout pass from 5 feet inside his own blue line along the right-wing boards where he loves to be, and he can find McDavid on the fly from there time and again. And he's one of the few on the team that consistently make a pass. We're certainly struggling to find any defenseman who can do it. But Leon, that time it was a simple sort of 10-foot pass, but put the puck on his stick there and a second to look up, and that puck is going the other way fast. And so it took all three of them on the rush to put it in. And then, of course, on the third goal, on the power play, the fourth goal, actually, he went into the far corner on the left-wing side, grabbed a loose puck there along the boards that got work free to him, and rifled a no-look backhand cross-ice saucer rocket to McDavid right on his stick in the far face-off circle. And from there, McDavid and Chiasson had fairly easy pickings to finish it off, but it was that pass that made that goal. Second game in a row, he's made a just dropped a gorgeous backhand, hard backhand pass in the air, over sticks, onto teammate's stick. And McDavid in both cases, which is always a good stick to put it on.
He's looking every bit like an $8.5 million man, Bruce, maybe even like an $11 million man these last few games. He is just playing fantastic hockey. And that those backhand passes are just so sublime. It is fun to be an Edmonton Oilers fan. It's fun to be an Edmonton Oilers fan right now, actually. I mean, this team is starting to look like a hockey team. I know they lost this game tonight, but it answered some questions for me. They just seem to be, I don't know what it is, Bruce. They just seem to be a much better, more organized team with more spirit and fight in them. So my good thing, Bruce, is Darnell Nurse, because he's been in a defensive slump for about a month now. Mm-hmm. And I know that he didn't look great on the overtime goal, but we're going to talk about the real culprit on that goal in a second. And on the, I think, the Winnipeg tying goal, he was one of a number of people who allowed the slot pass out. That was a pretty fast developing play, and other people could have helped out on that one as well, Larson and Kajula, to be specific. But that was the only, on a grade A chance, that was the only mistake Darnell Nurse made all game long. And I thought
he just played. You didn't tab him on Maybe you got him on the penalty kill on Perreault's goal.
Oh, excuse me. That's
Perreault an even strength. From the side, and Nurse just stayed at the far point and didn't challenge him. That was brutal, I think.
That was a shorthanded goal. I was talking even
strength. Yes, so it was a power play goal for Winnipeg.
Yeah. No, and I did blame him as part of the group on that one. Let me just see here.
Anyway,
but Bruce, that was not primarily on Darnell Nurse. I don't think. I mean, he was one of the people, but Benning got out of position on that play. That's coming down Matt Benning's wing. Nurse might have been able to clean it up, but I thought anyway. Here's why I think Nurse is the you can tell me why you think he was the bad thing in a second. I thought he was good. He played a very simple game. He simplified his game, and you know, he was moving the puck well. And the Oilers he wasn't running around in his own zone a lot. The Oilers weren't in trouble a lot when he was out there, as far as I could see. And I liked his game. I was maybe it's my low expectations of Nurse after a month of struggling, but I thought he played very well that game and was a big reason the Oilers were still in that game right to the end.
Well, he did a couple things tonight that you don't see very often. One that really jumped off the page at me, and this would really be one of our numbers if I chose it to be 38 shifts. You never see that. And I look at this, I highlight the most ice time and shifts off the event summary every game, and I can't remember seeing a 38 for a long time. Man, he was just rolling over the boards a ton, and he played 31 minutes, which is a very big number too, of course.
Wow. So, yeah. So being out there as much as he did, yeah, there for sure. He could have done more on that shorthanded goal and on the tying goal. I think especially the tying goal, but I still liked his game. I thought he was strong out there. What's your bad thing?
My bad thing is it is the NHL's schedule that has the Philadelphia Flyers, those turkeys that blew a 2-goal lead with a minute and a tiny change left in Calgary last night and managed to gift 2 points to the Flames. And they come up to Edmonton today and they get to practice on Edmonton ice today. And they get to sleep in an Edmonton hotel tonight after watching the Edmonton team play in Winnipeg on their cozy hotel TV sets. Even get to scout the other team. And while the visiting Philadelphia Flyers are resting in Edmonton, the hosting team tomorrow night, back-to-back, Edmonton Oilers are flying back from Winnipeg after a very tough game. And I know every team gets screwed on the schedule once in a while, and it's our turn to get screwed on the schedule because that just sucks when it sets up like that. That's my bad thing. I'm very nervous about tomorrow night's game because I think the Oilers look pretty gassed by the end of this one.
Fair enough. Yeah, they've just been on the road. They're just getting back in. So fair enough. When does Hitchcock get his fourth real practice? We've been hearing he has never hardly had any real practices with the team. Remember last year, Bruce, they had weeks on end where they seemed to play one game. That was totally asinine, the schedule last year. I wonder if we're coming up to a patch like that where the Oilers have three games in a month. Is that
just
right?
Before Christmas. But where this tonight was the 11th consecutive game with one day off in between. So the 11th consecutive game that was played on an odd numbered date. There's an odd stat for you. All the way from November 23rd through December 13th, every odd numbered date they played.
That stat was very McCurdy-esque is what I'm going to say.
Yeah, it is. I'm a calendar watcher. What can I say? And I'm very into odd and even numbers and weird crap like that.
You have a beautiful mind, Bruce.
Thank you, baby.
My bad thing was the beginning and the end of Cam Talbot's game. Mm-hmm. And the Winnipeg Jets outchanced Edmonton 11-9 on grade A chances. So it wasn't, Cam Talbot had some good moments, but, you know, he on the first four grade A chances, Bruce, that Winnipeg had, he let in 3 goals. And on a couple of those, they were all grade A chances. So, but you have to, you know, 1 out of 4, that's the ratio, my friend, 1 out of 4, not 3 out of 4. You know, you let in 1 out of 4. That's okay. 3 out of 4, that is not okay. You got to do better than that. And Bruce, the overtime goal, come on.
Like, yeah, top of the circle, it wasn't exactly Liney that was shooting it either.
it's a tough shot. It's the guy's coming in fast, but an NHL goalie should make that save, I don't know, 9 times out of 10. Mm-hmm. It should be a 10% shot. And for it to go in, that was kind of disappointing.
It was.
I have to say. And I know Draisaitl and Nurse are culpable in the play. The guy's streak in there. But he didn't. There was no other options for the shooter. He mm-hmm. just had to shoot. And you just have to come out and make that save. And it's as simple as that. And and this is why I, David Staples, I'm a Koskinen man at this point. And in the great goaltender wars, I'm a Koskinen man, not a Talbot man.
It's back to back. They got a point with Talbot in Winnipeg. They're Koskinen playing on home ice where he's been undefeated and almost unbeatable.
That's true. That's fair enough.
And it was a back to back. They were going to play him 1-1 anyway. And Hitchcock said after Tuesday's game in Colorado at altitude with 43 shots that Koskinen was tired. So maybe giving him the extra day wasn't the worst idea either. I mean, so we got two goalies and Talbot, I mean, I'll give him credit for hanging in there in a tough third period. I've shot 17-2 and only beaten by one goal. I didn't like the Liney goal because it kind of went right through his glove. And that overtime goal, well, that just wasn't our 41 seconds. I mean, McDavid had the game won and he hit his fifth bloody goal post in three games. Five goal posts in three games for one player, Connor McDavid.
Yeah, to give Talbot credit, there was six grade A chances for Winnipeg in the third period, just one for the Oilers. Mm-hmm. So, and again, that's why I said I didn't like the beginning and the end, because in the middle he was pretty damn good. Mm-hmm. And like you say,
yes, and you did say that, and that's fair.
Okay, what is your number?
My number is 41-5. 41-5. And that is the number of shot attempts in the third period of tonight's game. Winnipeg had 41. Of which 14 were blocked by Edmonton, and another 10 went wide of the net, and 17 were still got through to test Cam Talbot against two shots on goal for the Edmonton Oilers. And like I say, 41-5, even in shot attempts, the Oilers were skating in sand and struggling mightily to ever get a hold of the puck, first of all, to ever get it over the damn blue line, second of all, to ever get it over center and deep into the Winnipeg zone. They just couldn't get the puck past the nearest jet and any point in the ice. And they were just gassed. And I was very fearful that it was going to go 4-4, 5-4, 6-4, empty net goal, 7-4. So we'll take the 1 point.
Oh, with, that is a, you know, that is a great
shot. I'm not going to have gotten the second one, of course. But early in the third period, it was 4-3 Edmonton, and I was thinking to myself, you know, if you tell me right now that I was come out of this 1 point, I think I'd have to take it, and that's basically is the way it worked out. But
that was my thought exactly. I was so happy when they scored at the end of the third because I thought, okay, we're going to get a point out of this game, even if they score, and I also expected Winnipeg to come back and score. We, you know, given the Oilers,
well, Winnipeg's a good team, issues. And they were just all over the boards, and Edmonton just couldn't get away from them with their. You know, their third pairing playing second pair minutes and their fourth pairing playing third pairing minutes. And very rusty Drake Caggiula out there who couldn't move the puck north and when he got a chance to. And I name him, but there was plenty of other guys that were struggling.
I think you're naming Caggiula. I hated Caggiula on that tie.
Well, on the tying goal, he had the puck about four different times and never got it over center. So that's why
it was his turnover that kicked off the whole thing too. He first bobbled the pass in his own zone. Mm-hmm. If he had taken that pass, he just
blindly rifled it.
And then he rifled it. Like those two little mistakes like that are all the difference in a game.
Yep.
And then he didn't cover the player in the slot. So maybe he should have been our bad thing. Maybe we can we've slept in an extra bad thing.
We mentioned him.
My number is 1 second. I'm going to find that chart. Okay, so up until this point in the season, at even strength, Darnell Nurse has made 52 mistakes on grade A chances. 52. And in this game, he just made the one. So at even strength, exactly. Right. Sorry, yes, not at shorthanded. He was a culprit. I haven't actually tabulated the shorthanded mistakes. So again, I thought Darnell Nurse was good. Shout out, though, to Kevin Gravel and Matt Benning, but especially to Gravel. Mm-hmm. Interesting player, eh? He's He's the Jacques Laperriere of the Oilers right now.
He's sure got a good stick, and Jacques Laperriere is a perfect guy. I was just going to compare him to Jacques Laperriere, who is the best player I've ever seen at tipping pucks over the glass. To this day, I think Jacques Laperriere is better than anyone at just sticking his stick out, getting a piece of a puck, and having it go over the glass, and in those days, into the seats. Nowadays, of course, into the netting. But Gravel has one or two of those, it seems like, every game, where some guy looks like he has an open shot and his stick flashes out and the puck is up in the netting and the whistle's going and they're changing the line. You know, it's credited as a block shot, and if it gets a stoppage in play, so much the better. That's a good defensive play, and he's made a few of those. Not the cleanest with the puck.
No.
And, you know, he spent too much time in his own end tonight as well, of course, but that was the nature of the beast in this game. By the time you tabulated third period stats, they almost all of them looked bad.
He was a Chris Russell-esque in his defensive play. He's very fundamentally sound, taking the body, playing the man. I like Gravel's game. Like, I didn't know how it was going to translate against tougher competition. But he can play a little bit of defense. And like you say, you don't expect any great passes. It's always a little bit of an iffy question. Weidman looked good too, I thought. So
yeah, not bad. He had some good moments.
He can pass the puck. That's always a plus.
Here's a question though, David. If the Oilers had a Corsi of 5-41 without Chris Russell, what would they have had with Chris Russell, a notoriously bad Corsi player? 2-80? I mean,
is he bad this year? Bruce, I honestly
about every year. It's built into the way he plays.
Is he this? I honestly never look at Corsi numbers anymore. So, is he below 50%?
Yeah, I'll get you a number in just a second. But carry on. Anyway, they
I stopped looking at those numbers about 3 years ago, Bruce. And sorry, I'm not missing them. But
they're part of the great big spreadsheet.
Oh, I know, folks love them. They can have
that includes everything. Well, there's tons of stats. I'm a stats whore. I love them all. Including ones like that. Which way is the puck going when a guy's on the ice? And
what's Russell's number? I know it's good. It's good you like them and defend them on the podcast. Otherwise, it would be kind of tedious and offensive. Just my one-sided take.
Offensive, David, but
yeah, it's just my opinion. Is it Russell's Corsi number on the floor there, Bruce? You were looking.
Yeah, it is. That's where I have to put my keyboard when I bring my camera up front and center.
Geez. Okay.
So there's only so much room on this desk.
And we're going to end the podcast on this, Bruce, because you got to get out there and look at those stars, and we're starting to ramble again here. So
I do. Yeah.
As soon as you say that number, we're shutting it down, man.
Okay. Thanks for listening, everybody.
And in the meantime, in between times, this has been another edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast. We're just waiting for one percentage.
We just get that in advance, and then I'm just going to bring up, where are you, Mr. Chris Russell? Way down here, 46.9% Corsi, and relative to the team, it's pretty poor. So, damn it, stupid mouse isn't working. Computer's acting up tonight. 46.9, and well below the team average, and that is just the way that that Chris Russell plays. -4.6.
So, good night, Bruce.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everyone. And we're back at it tomorrow night. Enjoy the game. See you tomorrow night.
See y'all.